Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY20 earnings conference call of UFlex Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Runjhun Jain from Nirmal Bang. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Vivian. On behalf of Nirmal Bang, we would welcome you all to the Quarter 2 FY20 earnings conference call of UFlex Limited. Today, we have with us Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, the Group CFO, and Mr. Rajesh Agarwal, VP Investor Relations from the management team. I will hand over the call to Mr. Agarwal, who will take the call from here. Over to you, Mr. Agarwal.
Good evening. Welcome. Second quarter FY20. UFlex assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements or information which speaks as of their respective dates. I would now like to invite Mr. Bhatia to share some perspective with you with regard to the company's operations and some quarter under review. And after that, we'll open the call to questions from analysts.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on the call. A very warm good afternoon to all of you. To update you about the Q2, I think I can sum it up by saying that a steady quarter where, you know, we the highlights of the quarter are, you know, a slightly lower production and the sales volumes as well as the net revenue, all in that proportion, about 7%. And that was caused by because we closed our Dubai plant in the month of June for relocation to Russia. So, you know, we had only one plant operating in Dubai for this quarter, and correspondingly, the production from the second plant was not available. So that's the shortfall which we've seen in the production, sales volume and net revenues this quarter. But despite that, the margins have been better, both in the overseas film business as well as in the packaging business. In the India film business, the margins were a bit lower as compared to the Q2 of last year. But overall, you know, even at a lower number of production and sales volume number of about 7% lower, the EBITDA was up about 5.4% for the quarter, while the PAT was down by 1.8% because of a higher incidence of the depreciation post-commissioning of our holographic facility in Jammu. On a standalone level, you know, the production is pretty much, the production and the sales number are pretty much constant. So there is the net revenue, though, decreased by about 7% on a standalone basis, because I said that, you know, the domestic film business was affected in this quarter because of the you know, the prices being low. But EBITDA was made up by, you know, EBITDA is marginally up by about 0.3% this quarter, again, because, you know, while the film's contribution was down, the packaging contribution made up for that. And that is why at an EBITDA level, we didn't, it didn't get affected. And the EBITDA margin for the quarter were at about 14.9% on a consolidated basis, which is quite heartening. So the commissioning of the projects in Hungary as well as in Nigeria is on schedule. So I think while we will see the Russia being commissioned in Q4 of this year, probably towards the end of January or the beginning of February. You know, the plants in Nigeria and Hungary will come into in the Q2 of next year. And so FY21, you know, we will see, you know, some of these plants operating and will add to our volumes of the packaging film business. Overall, I say that a decent performance, and you know, whatever is the lower number on the production sales as well as the revenue, it's all by design and not by any downward trend in the sales or anything else. So that pretty much, you know, sort of sums up the performance for this quarter. And we saw in India business, you know, in the BOPET, the gross margins being down by about 6% in Q2. And while in the BOPP, the margins were up about 18% over the last year number. And international business, the EBITDA was up 34% versus Q2. So all that translates into an overall EBITDA improvement of about 5.4% over the same period last year. So I think that's been pretty much, you know, sort of the summary. On the packaging business side, you know, I said the volumes were constant, but the, you know, the profitability was higher over there because, you know, some of the low margin products we exited, and that is why the overall volumes were static as compared to Q2 of last year and as well as Q1 of this year. But yes, the volumes have moved to higher, you know, margin business, and you know, some of the low margin business we have deliberately exited. And as we go forward, the endeavor is to focus more on the export of the packaging products, as well as the domestically we are also looking to go up the value chain. Another notable thing which happened in this quarter, and everybody, you know, was after the Prime Minister announced on 15th of August that, you know, there will be some kind of, you know, harsher treatment for the single-use plastics. I think everybody got a bit worried. While at UFlex we are not into any category of single use plastic, and it didn't affect us, but you know, as an industry leader, we've taken the initiative, we've taken the lead in terms of you know, interacting with government as well as the other stakeholders to put forward the arguments and the case that, you know, it's not a situation which calls for some drastic things like this. All these things are pretty manageable. I think we could use our existing facilities for recycling at all our plants, to showcase that, you know, if whatever is the plastic waste at all of these plants, if that is being recycled, then the waste which is collected from the public, also by the municipal corporations today, that can also be sorted and recycled. The only additional step there being the sorting, because, you know, that's a mixed waste and you can't really segregate, you know, when the waste is collected from households or any other places as to whether it is plastic or glass or metal or cloth or food. So, you know, you have to set it up garbage sorting facility, and from that sorting facilities you whatever is the plastic recycling, plastic waste plastic that you get, you can recycle this. So I think we've been able to demonstrate that to a very good extent, and we're doing it all this through industry forums. And you know, we are working at setting up a pilot plant, maybe one or two in the next 6 months' time, which will showcase. So today, whatever we are able to demonstrate is confined to our own internal facilities and the plants, but this will be open to the whole world to see that, you know, how the garbage is sorted, and then the sorted garbage, out of that whatever is the plastic waste, how we are able to recycle that and make various products of plastic, be it any plastic products like benches, stools, buckets, mugs, road dividers, or any other, you know, articles of plastic. There may be more than 10,000 items of plastic which can be made using this. And I think that's what we're going to showcase. The industry is going to showcase, and we're providing leadership there in terms of demonstrating that this is what should be the logical steps, rather than thinking of curtailing use of plastic, because it's a boon material. And and today, if we are able to control on our food wastages or other wastages, it's only because the plastic is being used to package food. So it's increasing the performance. It is not something which is single-use plastic like cutlery or the plastic bag. They are performance-enhancing packaging, without which, you know, there'll be lot more food wastages. If the farmers are not able to, or other intermediaries are not able to store the food articles, so the things may turn pretty bad in terms of the distress. And if we go to any alternate uses like paper and all that, so they also serve a limited purpose only. And end of the day, they are also environment unfriendly, and that is where from the paper the world moved over to plastics many years ago. And now, if you are talking of coming back to the paper, so that's a retrograde step rather than an accretive step, and that has its own challenges in terms of the environment unfriendly, as well as yes, that is biodegradable, that is self-destructing on its own, but eventually at the end of the day, you need to see the pros and cons of moving on to the paper, and which is simply not possible. So the problem does not lies in the plastic. The problem lies in the way the plastic waste is being handled today. And yes, there'll be some investment on the part of the government or on the part of the municipal bodies to sort and the garbage and to sell the various sorted material out of the garbage to the various recyclers, but that can be compensated by way of some additional cost which will ultimately be borne by the consumer, but that will solve the way the plastic will be recycled. And we also demonstrated that apart from this recycling thrust, the government also needs to make the whole plastic biodegradable, because yes, there'll be still some plastic left which won't be collected. So that also has to eventually, if the plastic is biodegradable, that will eventually be converted into the biomass at the end of its designated life cycle. If we make the plastic biodegradable, mandatorily make it biodegradable also, then, you know, at the youth, even if we all throw something, polythene bag or some, chips packet or some bottles, roadside or beachside and all that. So that will, be turned into fertilizer at the end of the designated life cycle. So if we do these two steps, then, you know, all the noise about what we're hearing about plastics will be addressed. And that's the way to go. So I think once this facility, these pilot plants come up, that will be the real demonstration of as to how the things, how the government takes any further steps to, on the plastic issue. Yes, they've said that by 2022, we've shifted the target to 2022. But I think if we are able to demonstrate that well, so then, you know, we have a pretty good case. And we even had some of the people visiting our plants and seeing with their own eyes, and they were in a sort of awe and disbelief that, you know, these are the things what are already happening. And they clearly saw that the plastic waste which is generated at the plant being recycled into some of the alternate plastic products. So I think the messages have gone well. Next 6 months or so, after we demonstrate on a public platform that this is all achievable, I think then, you know, we'll see as to what further the government thought processes on the way to handle the plastics. I think here what we are also saying is here, because it is being done by an Indian company and no other company is worldwide recycling its plastic waste. So India could take the lead and become the first nation to say that, you know, we have a solution for the plastic. And, you know, for not only for the plastic industry over here, but even for the government, it will be a good, thing to say and declare to the world that, you know, India has a solution to the plastics waste management, the plastic waste being handled and being recycled and being biodegradable. So, I think while 2nd October, there's nothing which was a deadline for the government to announce something on the plastics. There's nothing that came out, and, you know, the government said that, you know, it was more of an advisory rather than any ban that they had contemplated. But I think in the right earnest, we taking that and we are trying to, showcase that, look, this is how the problem has to be handled. And we pretty sure that, this is the way it will emerge over the next few years. So that's it from me on that, in terms of briefing all of you about the Q2 and, what's happening around us in the industry. We open to any questions now, and I'll be glad to address them.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may kindly press *1 on your touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press *2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Jiten Parmar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon. I have a few questions. One is, if you can throw some light on where Asepto is, what is the situation, what is the capacity utilization, are we, EBITDA positive on its as quarter, and also on the engineering business.
So I think Asepto, yes, we had a good beginning to the season, which starts with Q1. And Q1, our volumes were obviously larger. Q2 generally takes a bit of a lean period. But Q2, over the last year, Q2, we still had 150% the volumes increased. But notably, what is good is that there are companies, large companies, one or two large companies, which I'll not be able to name it because of the confidentiality reasons, but they are on board now. And we'll see in the next few one or two quarters that the volumes will go up dramatically on the aseptic packaging. We were EBITDA negative in this quarter on the aseptic packaging. Last quarter, we were EBITDA positive on the aseptic packaging. So overall, for the year as a whole, though, we are more or less evened out. So with the minus there in the second quarter and with the plus there in the first quarter of this fiscal, I think we're more or less at a neutral position if we take the H1 into account. But as I said, that one or two major accounts that we've cracked and where the orders have already started kicking in, I think will show. And they're not small, they're large accounts, and that will really pave the way for the capacity utilization. So we can safely assume that by the first quarter of the next fiscal, we should be ready to order another printing line, which will double our capacity because as of now, we've limited our investment over there. And we will obviously take that call as and when we reach to about 75% capacity level.
So what would that CapEx be? I mean, Q1, is it around?
50 crores.
Okay. Now, engineering also had lower volumes or basically lower revenues. Any light on that?
So engineering business is a bit of a business which keeps on. There is a high degree of the variability there, and that really depends on the order book and all. So that's the natural cycle of that business. And when you have larger orders, so I think some of the Asepto packaging machines where we have been working. So I think we need to deliver those. And even if two machines would have delivered in the last quarter, we would have made up for that loss. But unfortunately, we could only deliver them in the next quarter, as it happens in some of these engineering or the infra businesses. So the business is sort of normal, but sometimes you have the quarterly fluctuations coming your way. So I don't see much sort of issue over there.
Okay. So my next questions are basically, what is the consolidated debt as of now and any debt reduction plans? Next is CapEx for the remainder of this year as well as next year.
So I think in India balance sheet, we have from March to this now, we have about 150 crores already come down. In the overseas, we have two projects currently where we have to spend about, say, 140 million and plus another 35 million on the Russia project. So that much of a debt will will come on the balance sheet minus the equity that we have to contribute to this these projects. And given that there are sufficient internal accruals, but still, you know, we will see that, you know, the debt would be sort of added. So we can take the total capex size for the Russia, Hungary and Nigeria at about 175 million, which will be, yes, for which they'll be debt added, and, you know, the revenues and EBITDA will follow over the next 1 year or so.
Okay. So, I mean, what I want to know is what would be our sort of, you know, what would be a peak that, you know, before it starts deleveraging or something, is that number we have worked out?
So, India has already started deleveraging.
Right.
You know, and as I said that in the H1, there is a reduction of about 150 crores. For overseas debt, if I see as on 31st of March, the long-term debt was only $40 million in the overseas business, which was sort of getting repaid. Most of it was getting repaid in the next 3 years. And, you know, and this new debt, which now gets added, obviously will take about... So it's only that the new debt which gets added on and the existing debts keep on paying. The overseas business, given that today it generates an EBITDA of about, last year it did about $80 million with a long-term outstanding debt of $40 million only, you know, can handle all the, you know, even if the 40 gets repaid, and the new debt is $150 million. So, you know, it is still a very manageable number for the overall debt position for us.
Okay. Okay. So, and lastly, last question. What are the spreads? I think for the BOPET previous, I think last quarter was around 45 or something, or 50, if I may. And
so, BOPET so currently, for the...
Yeah. Yeah.
So, BOPET prices for the... So the Q2 margins were about 6% lower as compared to Q2 of last year.
Okay.
In the BOPET, while in the BOPP, the Q2 margins were 18% higher as compared to the last year.
Yeah. So yeah, basically what I'm understanding is, and what I'm saying is basically BOPP margins have been on an uptrend, and
yeah,
BOPET has
because
been,
BOPP really touched its low,
right.
You know, in the Q1 and Q2 of the last year. So
right.
Coming from there, the margins have, you know, sort of gradually improved as the excess capacity keeps on getting absorbed.
So currently, we have no plans of adding any lines in India for.
No.
Okay.
We have no lines for planning in India.
Okay, great. That's all from my side. Thank you so much for answering the questions.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Rajendra Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. I would like to know why our standalone margin is very low compared to the consolidated margins. And second thing, that our debt is remaining very high in the industry if I compare with the other balance sheet of the same. Hello?
Haji.
Haji.
So, I'll tell you the standalone EBITDA margin for us is about 12.5%. This quarter, which was 11.5% in the last quarter. I'm talking EBITDA only because, you know, others are, you know, just a function of a number. So, you know, really the earning level is determined at an EBITDA level. So it's about 12.5% in this quarter as compared to 11.5% last quarter. While our this is standalone, while the consolidated basis it is about 14.9% this quarter as compared to 13%. So historically for us,
historically,
you know,
it is a very, very low attendance compared to Bangalore.
Sorry?
Consolidated.
Sorry, Mr. Shah, operator. We can't hear you clearly, sir. Can you please repeat that?
I think so. Disturbance is coming.
Yeah, tell us.
My line may go out.
Please go ahead, sir. We can hear you. Mr. Shah, please continue.
Yeah. Historical.
I'm sorry, Mr. Shah. We are not able to hear you.
Okay, doesn't let him be discontent. Question I asked, just let him explain.
Mr. Shah, could you repeat your question again?
No. Whatever I have heard.
Mr. Shah, we are not able to hear you right now. I request you to please come back in the queue.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1. Please press star 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Yanara Vaidya from Nirmal Bank Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
So thank you for taking my question. So Q2 saw a decline in both sales volumes and production because it was the line was shifted from Dubai to Russia. So sir,
yeah.
Q3 will also see a decline in volumes because of this shift?
So I said that we will see the similar decline in the next quarter also because, you know, that line will get commissioned in the Q4 of the fiscal FY20 only.
Okay. So, and what is the capacity of that line that is coming up in Russia?
So, that's about 2,000 tons per month.
Okay. So, and the one in Dubai, is it the same capacity or is there
no,
any idea?
So, the one in Dubai is a little lower capacity.
Okay. Okay. So the gross margins, the EBITDA has significantly increased in this quarter. So is it totally because of packaging margins going up or is there any other reason to it? Because the sales have they've come down by about 7% YOY.
Yeah, so it's only because the better margins in the packaging business.
Okay.
And, you know, the better margins in the overseas films business also.
Okay. So, and could you quantify the gross BOPET margins? I mean, they were 45, I think, in the previous quarter.
So, the BOPET margins this quarter were about... the last year, they were about 55 rupees. This year, they are about 49 rupees.
Okay, sir. So, and with these two new BOPET lines coming up, how do you see these margins panning out in the later H2?
So, I think while the one line has already been commissioned, and Jindal line has already been commissioned, and that is where I said that Q2 of last year versus Q2 of this year, we've seen in the BOPET industry a reduction of about 6% in the gross margins. So I think that has more or less been taken care of. And I think January onwards, we'll see, a better margins coming to the BOPET industry again.
Okay, so more than 49. Yeah,
Hello? Yes.
Yeah, more than 49 per kg.
I think let's aim for northwards of 50, whatever it is.
Okay. So the next question is, so the employee cost in this quarter has been significantly lower on a sequential basis. It was 189 approximately crores in Q1. So sir, was there any one-off there or...
Last year, maybe, you know...
Q1 FY20
was higher, you are saying?
Yes. It was about 189 crores.
Maybe because of some, you know, the bonuses and all that coming in the first quarter and all that. So that may be the reason.
Okay. So, and the capital work in progress has significantly increased in this quarter. So is it because of the Nigeria and Hungary investment that it has started?
Nigeria, Hungary, Russia, and, you know, in... we are also looking at some small investments on the PCR side, you know, the post-consumer recycle PET bottles we are now recycling to, we're using that recycled chips to make, you know, BOPET films in our U.S. plant, and we are using that up to 90%, you know, minimum 90% we are using, and that has given us good margins in the U.S. So the U.S. Margins in the H1 have been higher. So the plan is to use it, you know, to increase it over the period. But today what we are doing is we are buying that the PCR chips from the market. But today, you know, we need to showcase that, you know, one, there is a commercial sense in, you know, sort of setting up a facility where you get the PET bottles and you recycle them to make the chips. One, commercially, it is a lot more viable today. Secondly, you know, that also, you know, helps you in, you know, in recycling, in making a film from a recycled polymer. And so that's been the endeavor, that, you know, buoyed by the success of that in our U.S. facility, which is now also certified by the SCS Global also. And so we are looking at some small investments coming up to set up those PCR facilities where we will get the PET bottles and recycle them to make the chips, and which will be used to make the BOPET films again. And, you know, only the BOPET films can be made using the recycled PET bottle chips. And BOPP, you can't, you know, sort of do that. So... I think this will help us both commercially as well as from an environment standpoint view, where, you know, the polyester film that we make is already made from a recycled material.
Okay, sir. So last few questions. So the projects that you mentioned about the pilot project, so what would be the approximate capex for that? And is it in partnership with the government or...
No, it will not be partnership with the government, but I think this will be the industry for the packaging film industry association will all, you know, sort of make contributions towards this. I think it should not be about more than 4-5 crore for each company.
Okay. So that's it for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. To ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Raj Garadia from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Bhatia. Shraddha here. Just wanted to understand this volume that we have put up in the press release, that is all the three divisions put together, right? I mean, international, domestic films as well as packaging, right?
Yeah.
Right, and secondly, wanted to understand, while domestically you mentioned that the gross margins were down in BOPET and BOPP it was up, but what led to the sharp jump in international EBITDA? You said international EBITDA was up some 34%.
So again, number one, the prices for the BOPET as well as the BOPP. Number two, the value add, which, as I said, in our U.S. facility, we had a higher value added, you know, these PCR-based films, which obviously gives us a better margin. So I think both the pricing side and, you know, as we've been saying largely that, you know, except the Mexico plant, all other plants are today fully sold out. And so obviously, you know, once that sort of a situation comes, you tend to take, you know, you can't, have, you know, have more supplies than what your capacities are. So obviously in that, what happens is that, you know, there are customers where the prices or the margins are low, so they all normally get weeded out, you know, as a natural process and all that, and you definitely have a better margins going down the line. But once your new capacities will come up, so obviously, you know, now you're looking to gain more market share, so there you will have, you know, the margins coming to a bit of a normal.
So what is the profit per kg, the way you explained for Bhopal, from 55 to 49? Similarly, how was it internationally?
So internationally, I don't have separate numbers, but internationally our EBITDA margin this year was about 18% of all the businesses put together.
Versus
18% EBITDA margin. You'll have to give me a moment. Just give me a moment.
Sure. So what I wanted to know is internationally EBITDA, per kg is up year on year. Is it?
Yeah, it is up.
And Bhopal as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Last year was about 15%.
Okay, so internationally we are not seeing the pressure of the new capacities. It was only in India.
Yeah, it's only in India.
Sure. And just one more question on this working capital, where we are seeing, you know, big increase in the loans and other financial assets. So what is this led by? There was almost, I think, 187 crore increase.
I think they would be, I think, largely the advances for the capex given, where, you know, they are only sort of, you know, either the advances to the contractors or to advances to the machine suppliers, which are still not delivered. So as we speak today, I think there are advances given or LCs established for Nigeria as well as Hungary. And so those all advances which are paid would figure in that loans and advances increment.
Sure. And just lastly, one more question on volume. I just wanted to know how much was the half-year packaging volume. Was that also, you said it was flat. Or was it declining?
So the packaging is about, let me just give you, the packaging is about 21,000 tons.
For the quarter?
For the quarter. That is what we've been doing now for the last three quarters or so. So that's around the number we've been.
So is that flat or that is declining because we are reducing the lower margin segment,
I think it's largely flat.
Okay, all right. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Santalia from AK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
So my question is that I've seen the management commentary of SRAF. They are saying that there will be some overcapacity in the Bhopal line, Bhopal business for the next 1.5 years. So how do you see the prospect of Bhopal business in the overseas?
See, I see that in the next 2 years' time, there is one line which is coming, which will come in Q4 of this year. So that may, you know, cause some effect, but, you know, generally, Diwali, and around becomes, you know, sort of a low season business for us, or for the packaging film industry. But this year we've not seen that happening. So I think maybe because people were too scared around the 2nd October deadline as to what will happen. So people were already on carrying very low stocks and all that. So we didn't see that, the demand going down. The prices from November have rather improved, so we expect, while that line, when that line will come, there may be some time for which the margins may come under pressure, but, we believe that in about a quarter's time, that will not be lasting and may be there for a quarter or so. That's all.
No, sir, they are talking about the international margin. International margin. Outside our India margin.
So India, outside India, see, SRF operates in a different territory. So they are in, in Thailand and all these places, while we are not there. So I wouldn't have really much idea about,
So in our country, in our market, we don't see any such reduction in margin.
No, we don't see anything happening over the next 1 year or so.
And sir, how much capacity utilization can we expect by the end of the fourth quarter?
For which product?
Asepto.
Asepto, I think my Asepto business team tells me that they will be, they'll achieve 70% to be minimum.
Okay, sir.
Any further questions, Mr. Santalia?
No, thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-on question from the line of Yanada Vaidya from Nirmal Bank Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Sir, I just want to know how many customers do we currently serve in the aseptic packaging business?
I think we serve about 30 customers or so.
Sir, last quarter, I think the figure was about 65.
Maybe then I may be wrong here, but, I think we'll need to then handle that offline.
Okay. Sir, could you please give me the breakup of the international business in terms of BOPP and BOPET, because the BOPET prices are going up. And it has reported the international business has reported good margins.
So internationally, we have all BOPET facilities only, except one line in Egypt, which is a BOPP line. So excepting one line where the capacity could be 30,000 tons a year, rest is all BOPET facilities for us.
So why are the margins going up if it's only in Egypt?
Why are the margins going up only in Egypt?
No. Why is it if the facility is only in Egypt, I mean the BOPP line is only in Egypt and the rest are BOPET. So if BOPET has not seen any margin improvement, why are the international business margins inching up?
So international business margins are definitely better this quarter, and I said that. I didn't say that international business margins are under any sort of a pressure. So international business margins on the BOPET as well as on the BOPP side have been better in this quarter.
Okay. Could you provide me with the breakup of... if there's one more line that is coming up in Q4, the Jindal line is already commissioned. If there's one more line, so why do you see an improvement from Jan in the margins? I mean, there'll be more supply than probably the demand. So
I think that is already taken care of, and we have seen the prices coming off as compared to last year by about 10% or so already. And one line only coming, you know, if we see FY19 prices and the Q2 prices, so they'll be off by, you know, should be off by about 7 to 8% or so. So I don't see that, you know, at one line adding would create that much of a ripple effect as we go forward. By the time the Jindal line, which is there, which came, would have also, you know, sort of stabilized and would have also had volumes. And all these new lines also which come, it takes time for up to come up to a certain capacity utilization levels and all that. So I don't really think that, you know, they'll can be any further, you know, sort of huge downslide on the BOPET margins. But, you know, let's see when we go to when that line gets commissioned. And as I said that, you know, normally Diwali and around that period, normally the offtakes are low, the prices are less and all that. But, you know, despite that Jindal facility coming into production earlier this quarter, you know, the prices have only improved in the month of November.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajesh Agrawal for closing comments. Sorry, sir, we are not able to hear you. Mr. Bhatia, would you like to provide any closing comments?
I think it Hello, Rajesh.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you have to provide the closing.
Yeah, I think there's a network issue. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and we look forward to staying in touch in future quarters. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of UFlex Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.